These kings were essentially hereditary military commanders and priests, and they ruled far more by influence than by dictate. And the fact that there were two families, the senior Agiad and the junior Eurypontid line, meant that the two kings were usually at each other's throats, trying to outdo each other. And furthermore, the kings as a political force in Sparta really depended very much on their personality and charisma rather than any kind of powers they had. They didn't have the means to set up a bureaucracy or officials. Instead, the government of Sparta looked very much like many governments in the Greek world, and that is, it would be characterized as an oligarchy or rule by the landed classes. There was a council, a gerousia, of 28 members voted by acclaim from the citizen body who met with the kings, and that council, it's characteristic in all Greek city-states to have a council, that acted as a sort of standing committee that could act in the name of the Spartans and would summon the assembly of citizens when big issues had to be decided. The third component, besides the kings and the gerousia, and remember, the kings are on the gerousia, the council itself, so it's a total of 30 members. The assembly was ultimately the sovereign body that passed laws. And this is true in most Greek city-states. The question of the nature of the constitution was not the fact that you had elected officials, council, assembly, it's who had citizenship to vote in the assembly. How restricted was the franchise? And in Sparta, we shall see, it was fairly restricted. The men who went into that assembly were 30 years and above. They were full Spartans by descent. They had gone through a common training program. They shared a set of assumptions and ideas. They may have numbered between 5 and 10,000 adult males of military age, if that. And in some instances, people would argue as low as 3,000. But nonetheless, the assembly is what passed the laws. There are no checks and balances as we understand it in the American Constitution. In any case, the system had evolved over the course of the 8th and 7th century BC, and the Spartans had devised a second an additional component. They had a board of five ephors. These were overseers, five men elected annually from the citizen body, probably from prominent families, and their job was to handle the instruction and supervise the training of young Spartans and the whole moral and religious life. Some scholars have attempted to turn these ephors into essentially foreign ministers, that is, a changing board that had five members who were elected and essentially dictated foreign policy. And presented foreign policy to the assembly and devised treaties because there are reports of ephors at times meeting with foreigners. There's no evidence for this. Instead, the sources, particularly Thucydides, presents a very traditional society in which the kings meeting with the gerousia and the five ephors, usually called the authorities or those in charge, ta tele ton lakadamonion, would meet and probably reached a consensus without a vote. They talked, they debated, they came to a position, then they would go to the assembly and present the position to the assembly, and the assembly would deliberate and choose. Spartans only voted when there was really an issue, as in 432 BC. You're dealing with a traditional society with a very homogeneous population where most people understand what the rules are, and they're very deferential to authority and tradition. And so, contrary to what many recent publications have argued, that Spartan foreign policy was erratic, the ephors were always changing, you never knew when they were, who was going to do what policy, really, Spartan policy was probably quite consistent. And the Spartans were persuaded and reached opinions often without actually going to a full vote. Very different from the Athenians. The Athenians love debate. They love a knocked out, dragged out debate, and they vote. They always want to vote. So in that sense, you're dealing with two variations of the city-state. The second important point about this constitution is that the Spartans ruled a wide area beyond the city of Sparta proper. And that is the region of Laconia, which is today southeastern Peloponnesus, and the region immediately to the west known as Messenia. Messenia was conquered in two major wars, traditionally dated from 736 to 716, and then again from 668 to 657 BC. And what the Spartans had done is first bring Laconia under control, and then in a series of two wars, brought Messenia under Spartan control. And the populations in these regions were divided into different classifications.